Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody whose coworker isn't
taking...
You said
that so sadly.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. Here we are.
Very NPR.
Everywhere I go, here, damn, there I am. Okay, today we're going to answer a letter from somebody whose coworker isn't taking her quitting her job well. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this whatsoever. And we also feel particularly chaotic today. So here we go. We're just here to offer our humble musings, so hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love.
Or relationships with coworkers, which might involve love, but not in this case.
Yeah. And that rarely goes well.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
All right. Today's letter is from Bad Manager, whose pronouns are she and they. And they are writing to us from The Void. My dear Sam and Sierra, I have a different kind of relationship question for you. It's about work. I've worked in a social justice nonprofit for more than 5 years. My amazing boss left 6 months ago, and now I've been offered a position on her team at her new organization. I'm thrilled. It's way more money, lots of exclamation points, and comes with a lot of great benefits and structures in place for work-life balance. Plus, I get to reunite with my mentor, and it's related to issues very close to my heart right now. That's awesome. Congrats.
That's great. Yeah.
I just announced to my team I'm leaving. I manage a small and wonderful team. Yesterday, I started rolling out the news, and one of my direct reports kind of flipped out. She was angry and disrespectful, saying things like, yeah, I get it. It's just business. And you can tell leadership, I'm not picking up any of your slack after you go. And FYI, I do not want your job. And in general, suggesting our workplace was toxic and we're, quote, good at hiding the bad things about our workplace in her interview process. She suggested she would also leave soon without me there. It was an awful conversation, and she wouldn't accept my apology, ultimately telling me that she didn't want to continue the conversation and needed to take the rest of the day off. She also has only been there 6 months, and I realized the two transitions have been jarring, and overall, it's possible that she's not a great culture fit. Nonprofits can be chaotic, and one will generally cope better if they're able to just roll with things. I think she feels betrayed. She's also in her 40s, I think, for context, so she's a grown-up. I figured she'd understand. Here's the thing. I feel awful. I feel selfish. I feel like I've failed this person and I've failed as a manager. I'm trying to remember that her feelings are her own and aren't my responsibility to fix, but I really don't want things to end on a bad note. I have another 3 weeks before I leave, and I want to try to set her and our team and organization up for success. I don't want to leave an unstable, unhappy team behind. I want to be supportive. But I also want to be treated with respect. It's perfectly normal to leave jobs, and there's never a perfect time. I want to help her move forward, but I also need her to be understanding, patient, and cooperative. How should I move forward for the remainder of our time together?
All right, Bad Manager, thank you for writing. First of all, congrats on the new job. It sounds very exciting. It sounds like
awesome.
The right, perfect next step for you. So I'm really excited about that. And also, sorry that people are handling your leaving not super well. You know, I think quitting a job is hard in a lot of ways, especially I think for folks who, you know, like work in places where they also find their vocation, right? Like, you know, you work for a social justice nonprofit. And so like there's a lot of your identity and your values that's often tied up in the type of work that you do. So it can be really hard to tell people, I don't want to work for you anymore. And like as a boss, you also have to deal with how your direct reports are handling it, right? And I'm sorry that this particular report seems to be handling it in such a emotionally volatile way. We're going to talk about this when we come back from break, but you know, this is about you, but it's also really not about you, right? Like it's about the fact that you are quitting, but it's not about who you are as a person or even honestly the fact that you're quitting. It's about the situation that this person is in. And I'm sorry that she is taking that out on you, because that is really unfair, knowing that you're not the one that is causing this work to be chaotic for her. You are doing what you need to do in order to find what is next for you. And she's taking it really poorly, but that's not your fault and that's not on you. So we're going to get into some advice about how to like navigate this situation in a way that feels in alignment with your care and compassion for this person, but with also with enough distance for you to not conflate her reaction to you with whether or not you're a good person or doing the right thing. But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. All right, y'all. Welcome back, my darlings. And thank you to our letter writer for this question. I think it's incredibly relatable, even if the specifics don't translate to other people's lives. I love what Sam said about how like quitting jobs is always really challenging, I feel like, unless you're one of those like really amazing people that I see just do it and like do it in like blow up the place, you know, like fuck you, I quit sort of thing. Which I've never done because I'm too guilt ridden.
Oh, absolutely. Never done
that.
Even
when they deserved it. But yeah, so this letter reminds me of one of the first things I realized, like one of those first life lessons that you inherited from your parents that you realize is inherently flawed. I remember, you know, my dad always taught me like to be a hard worker and that like that had social value and that is the respectable thing to do. Like the respectable thing to do is to do a good job, put in the work, prioritize your workspace, show them that you whatever, you know. And I remember my sister once telling me on the phone, like, you know, that's like fucked up because our dad would often push us to stay in jobs or in like, you know, positions that were giving us money or whatever, or no money at all, you know, because of the respectability politics around work and the value of work in our capitalistic society. Right. And I realized in talking to my sister that she was right, that like I was often pushed to be in like unalignment with my values or in a situation that wasn't really serving me anymore because of the way I viewed my obligation to work, you know, and like what that meant, you know, what being a quote good worker meant for my personality, like I, or for my worthiness, I conflated it. And the truth is, because we live in a capitalism, we've been like chronically lied to. I love what Sam said about, you know, especially working in nonprofit work, social justice work, like your identity, your morals are wrapped up in the way that you pay your bills. It's wrapped up in your day-to-day work and how you provide for yourself and your family, you know, how you get health care. How do you go to the doctor is wrapped up in all of this. So it's all like emotionally really tenuous. Ultimately, capitalism has lied to us by tying together our work with our performance, you know. And in here, it's such a perfect example because right now you're in the letter, you're telling us, I feel like a failure. I feel selfish for doing the thing capitalism wants us to do, which is go out and work more and make more money. You know what I mean? And because I truly think that's because it's hard to, humanness is hard to hold in capitalism at the same time. It gets confusing, you know, and especially if it kind of sounds like you're a people pleaser in like a way that I'm a people pleaser. You know, it sounds like you're really open-hearted and you're caring and you like to be a great leader. And those are all things that I really respect in people. And I also know how those personality traits get eaten up in workplace settings because of the unnaturalness of it all. Like, does that make sense? You know, like the fact that you're so crushed by this and you want to, I don't know, I'm kind of spiraling.
No, I think it's like, I think I'm, what's coming up for me is this realization that like so many of our workplaces treat us as if we're disposable, but then also convince us that we're indisposable.
And require us in a way that is not. You know what I mean? They're like, we don't really care about you, but we absolutely need you. Added to the fact that like emotionally immature people are everywhere, you know? And it sounds like, no offense to this coworker and everything that they have on their plate, but it sounds like she handled that in a really personal way to you and not a universal way in that she's having a stressful time at this job or the work is hard or whatever. You didn't hurt her. She's hurt by this experience.
Yes. Yeah. She's, you are not disappointing to her. She is disappointed by how this is playing out, right? And I think as you're thinking about like, what does it look like for you to move forward with this person, right? Like, you know, knowing that you have some time left to like work with her, I think the way that I would approach this is with some genuine curiosity about this person's experience, right? So instead of just like being like, no, it's fine. Everything's going to be good. Like, I'm sure you're happy about the fact that I'm leaving and that you're like so stressed by everything. I think that what I would do, especially because like at this point, you got nothing. Like, what are they going to do? Fire you? I would ask this person, right? Like, you seem really unhappy here, right? Like you seem really stressed by the way that this organization is run. Like, is this a place where you want to be? Like, are you actually enjoying this? Like, you have options here. You don't have to work here. And like, if you're really concerned about all this stuff, right? Like, if you're concerned that you're going to get more work, if you're concerned that like, you know, you're going to get a new boss who you don't like, right? Like, then those are all things that could happen. So like, what do we want to do in this situation, right? Like, I can't make anything perfect and I can't make you any promises, but here's what I can do. And I can have a real conversation with you about like what I'm hearing, what is going to happen and whether or not this is going to be the role for you. Cause I think what sometimes, like I said, when we're told all the time that we are both disposable and indisposable, right? Like the work won't continue without us, especially this is true in nonprofit, right? Like then we get into our head that like, if we leave, we are hurting people, right? Like if we leave, things will fall apart around us and this important mission that we're trying to hold will go unmet, right? And in reality, first of all, people leave all the time and the things that need to get done and the things that don't need to get done, don't get done, right? Like it just happens. Like that is the way that these organizations work. I have been in them for years now and I can tell you that this is how this works, right? Like you leave and guess what? Somebody either steps in to do it or it doesn't happen and like nothing bad happens. Like it is just the way that these organizations function. But then it also like gets us into our head that we have no choice in how or when we get to show up for this, right?
Like, yes. Oh my God. That's so true.
When we go to work, we are actively choosing to go to work to places, right? And like, of course, like our livelihoods are tied up with our work. So like there is coercion there, 100%. And for lots of us, right, like we go to work that we hate every day because we feel like we don't have any other choice, but like we do, we do have choice in some of this. And so that's what I would talk to your coworker about, of being like, I know that this is really stressful. Like, what do you need? Right? Like, do you want me to help you? Or do you want me to give you a reference for another job? Right? Like, do you want me to like connect you with people that I know that like might be interested in working with? Like, I don't give two fucks about whether or not you stay at this organization. Right? Like it doesn't like you get to decide, but you're like taking this really personally. And I'm trying to tell you, it's not personal to you. It's just that like we exist in this organization together, but for me to want to personally connect to you, here's how I can help you do the thing that you want, whether that's leaving this organization or staying in this organization. And I'll advocate that you don't get any additional work, right? Like that's how I would approach this. Like, how can I be helpful for you in this? Because again, this person is upset. She's not upset with you. She is upset with the fact that both like two leaders in her organization left the first 6 months. She's upset because the work is hectic and she wasn't expecting it. She's upset because she thinks she was lied to in her interview process, right? Like all of those things sound very upsetting. Absolutely. And they have absolutely nothing to do with you as a person. So how can you come from a place of curiosity and like trying to see this person not as like your employee who's mad at you, but see this person as like a person that you know and care about who's like having a hard time in an organization that isn't the right fit for her, and approach it in that way. Cause I think that'll make it easier than trying to feel like you have to be like on your back foot defending your decision. Cause you don't have to defend it to this person. This person doesn't get any say in whether or not you leave this organization or what your next step is. But they are a person that deserves compassion and kindness in the way that all people that we work with and interact with do.
And I want to say, I always love when Sam reminds me to be curious, because I'm over here like, you don't owe this person anyone. And you don't owe this. Here we go. You don't owe this person anything. You know, like they're overreacting, blah, 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 blah. And that all might be really true. And also, I can tell that you're a very generous, kind-hearted person who wants to connect, who wants to find the humanity underneath the capitalism, right? So yes, to everything Sam said, and also this person might not be able to receive this, and they might see you as the scapegoat or the fire, the instigator to this discomfort. You know what I mean? And they're taking it out on you, like Sam said. So you can extend that olive branch of humanity and say, like, this is how I can help you, but I don't want you to let go of the reality that they are taking this really personally, and it's not personal, right? They're having a personal reaction to their life, and it's not you being selfish. It's not you being hurtful. It's not you even being disappointing. This is a part of work culture, right? And I want to respond specifically to something you said in your letter, that like you said, I want to help her move on, but I also need her to be understanding, patient, and cooperative. And I want to remind you that you don't actually need her to be those things. Your discomfort to the conflict is telling you that you need to bend yourself, contort yourself in a way that will no longer upset her to make the conflict go away, right? Your discomfort is yelling at you to say like, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. But if you actually sit with it, there is nothing here that you can do that... There's nothing here that you did that personally hurt this person, right? There's nothing you did here that was out of lines, inappropriate. You gave them plenty of time, and it's a job. It is a part of work culture, right?
Yep.
Period. And there's nothing you could do that would be the perfect instigator to this person's understanding. You know, I think us people pleasers, or us conflict averse people who take everything really personally, we are so fixated sometimes on trying to find the right way to ease this discomfort, to ease the conflict, to appease the person who's mad at us, to make things better. And I know that there are really important values behind this desire. Like, you want to be a good leader. You want this nonprofit to thrive. You want this person to feel supported. Those things are all really noble and great. And also, she might always take this personally. What I just want to stress is you don't need her to be on good terms with you. And you don't need her to be understanding and patient and cooperative with you for you to be a great boss who did really well at this organization, who's now moving on to the next right thing for you. Right? That's actually a Frozen 2 quote also.
We're back to Frozen 2.
The next right thing. It's a song.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right. I know that now because I've seen it.
Welcome to 2012 or whenever it came out.
I don't know. I have no idea.
So just reminding yourself, like, I want us to be in harmony. I want us to feel more, less at conflict, but I don't need that to know
absolutely
that I'm a great employee, a great boss, a great leader, and a good person. You're a good person.
And she doesn't have to be patient and understanding to be able to do her job. Right. Like, she can also do her job and be mad at you. Like, that is also possible, you know, like, and I think sometimes
I'm a little sticky about this person. Like, really? You're gonna take it this personally? But you know what? Nonprofits, you're right. Nonprofits do that to us. They make it so. I know. I'm sorry.
And I'm also going to tell you the things that she said were not personal. Right. Like, she was like, I'm hurt and you're telling me it's just business, but I'm still hurt. And she said, I don't want to have to take on any extra work and I don't want your job when you leave. Like, which it's like, OK, like, this is good information to have. Like, these are things that I should know. And I think that one of the things that can also be helpful is to, like, again, like Sierra said, like, don't take this shit personally. She's telling you things about her experience in this job. And, like, that's good information to have so that when you are working out with your boss what your transition plan is going to be, you can say, Linda doesn't want any more work. Linda told me that she is probably going to leave after I leave because she doesn't want to be here, right? Like, Linda's telling me that she's pretty unhappy with how this organization is run. So, like, that's something that you should probably know about her, right? Because then we're not like, oh God, Linda's mad at me. It's like, no, Linda's mad. Like, and she's telling us important things about what she wants and what she doesn't want at this organization. And so then we can use that information to decide whether or not she wants to be here. But, like, we have to let go of the idea that, like, everyone needs to be, like, nice to us all the time in order for us to be able to do our jobs, because that's not actually true. We can do our jobs without, like, without being understanding of each other. Like, we are capable of doing that. And letting go of some of that, like, releases us from the need to, like, constantly try and get people to, like us more, which is, like, something that happens at work so, so often, right? Like, if Linda is hired to do a particular job and she's doing it great, then, like, let her do it, even if she's annoyed with the fact that you're leaving the organization, or she's annoyed with the fact that the organization is in a state of transition.
Yeah, exactly. This is all to say, we know this is uncomfortable, but you know, you work in nonprofits, so we know you a badass. You know, you got resiliency up the wazoo, right? Uh-huh. And this is just a moment in time. It doesn't tell us a bigger story about you as an employee, as a worker, or as a person. And we know you can move through this season with as much empathy for yourself as you have for Linda. And you're going to crush it in your new job. So we hope this
absolutely
helps.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into your DM, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and music. And remember, it's okay to disappoint people. it's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's an inevitable part of life. And 90% of the time, you didn't disappoint them. They are disappointed by the lived experience they're having. It's not personal to you and your value and worth as a human. And if all else fails,
just break up.